In our Bible to 2 John, 2 John chapter 1, we're going to read verses 1, there's no chapters in 2 John by the way, all right, it's just, so we finished a 1 John and I thought, well, naturally we'll just go and see what 2 John is all about and then we'll have a look at 3 John as well. So 2 John, now guys, as we come to 2 John, I've been studying this the last few weeks and having a look through the text. The reality is we are really not leaving the message of 1 John behind. We are simply moving from really what is a broad message to a much more narrow, much more personal one. And we have just spent a considerable amount of time in 1 John where John was writing to believers concerning truth, concerning things like our assurance and obedience, love. And he gave them somewhat a little bit about the dangers of false teachings. And now we come to 2 John. And church, we believe that that John wrote this little letter towards the end of the first century, probably somewhere around 85 to 95 AD, during the latter part of his ministry. John here was the last surviving apostle. And Christian tradition places him ministering in the region of Asia Minor, particularly around the city of Ephesus. But think about just for a moment here what John has accomplished by now. He had been walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. He had heard Jesus teach. He had seen his miracles. John had stood at the cross of Calvary with the Lord Jesus Christ. He had seen the empty tomb and had even seen the risen Lord. And now here in our text, decades later, John is still passionately concerned that God's people know the truth, that God's people believe the truth, that God's people would actually go ahead and live the truth. And the God's people especially would refuse to compromise on the truth of God's word. That's important, church, because the church here that he's writing to was facing a growing problem. False teachers were moving among the local New Testament churches in this day, and some of them were denying the truth concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. These teachers that had come in were not necessarily coming in announcing their false doctrine. Most people that come into a church that don't hold the views of the church don't come in and say, listen, folks, this is what I believe and this is what we're different. And the same was in New Testament here in New Testament times. They didn't come in here especially to say, you know, oh, we are here to destroy Christianity. They could indeed present themselves as religious teachers and traveling ministers. And understand, church, that in the first century, the church, traveling Christian teachers and evangelists would go from place to place, and believers would often provide them with hospitality and support and provide lodging for them. But John knew that false teachers could use that very Christian hospitality as an opportunity to spread their heresy and spread their error. And so 2 John, this letter, is written to teach God's people something very, very, very important. We are commanded to love people, but our love must never cause us to compromise the truth of the Word of God. And that is why the first three verses are so, so important. Before John warns them about deceivers, before he talks about false doctrine, before he tells them what they must refuse to tolerate, he begins with two words that will dominate this little letter. Truth and love. Look at verse number 1. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. And then in verse number 2, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. So John is reminding them that Christianity is not built upon feelings, that Christianity is not built upon personalities or popular opinion. It is built upon truth. But folks, let's realize neither is Christianity ought to be cold, and the Christianity that we practice ought not be loveless. Amen? It is to be built on truth and love. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you this afternoon that we can have a look at the Word of God. And Father, we pray that as we go through this message this afternoon that you would just bless us, speak to our hearts and encourage us, Lord. We thank you for what you have already done in our hearts and just meeting with us. And we just pray, Lord, that you'd meet with us once again as we open your Word and help us to see what a wonderful, important, practical little letter the book of 2 John is. We thank you, we love you, and we commit this message to you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So John says here, whom I love in the truth. The reality is, folks, as you read John's letters, you quickly come to realize that truth and love belong together. And please never forget that. Truth without love is harsh. Truth without love can be overbearing and does nothing to accomplish God's will. But on the other hand, love without truth is weak, folks. Love without truth can be easily compromised and extremely fragile, and it doesn't send forth the love of God at all. And that is going to be the great lesson that we're going to see from this little letter, 2 John. In 1 John, John taught us how to recognize genuine Christianity. And in 2 John, he's going to teach us how genuine Christianity is to walk in truth and love while living in a world where error is constantly trying to gain traction, folks. All right? We live in a world where Christian doctrine, especially false Christian doctrine, is trying to gain entrance into our lives. Let me encourage you in this. 2 John is not simply a repetition of 1 John. Like I said, 1 John is very broad and very pastoral. 2 John is personal and very practical. And John is going to take the truths that he has been teaching and in effect say, you know what, now Christian, this is how you ought to live this, what I have been teaching you. This is how to live your Christianity. And I think that that is a message that we need just as much today, folks, as they needed it back then. Because we live in a day that tells us, you know, if you love people, you will accept everything that they believe. And to that I say, nonsense. Amen? Couldn't be further from the biblical truth. People are free to choose. People are free to choose to live however they please. But my God teaches me that for me to love them, I never have to accept it. I never have to tolerate it. I don't even have to endorse it, folks. I had the disprivilege yesterday of attending a family function, and we got the privilege of sitting right across from two girls that are in a relationship. That was my afternoon. They were the daughters of families, friends, friends. And we spoke to them, and they were nice girls and everything. They had already been warned, all right, about the bald guy there, right? The topic never came up, but it was like, you know, if they asked me, I was going to tell them. I wasn't going to go and fix their life. It wasn't my responsibility to do that. But neither was I just going to, you know, just everything's hunky-dory, folks. Right? This is the reality that the biblical teaches. I can love someone, but I don't need to compromise biblical truth in order to do that. John here, as we go through this little book, is going to show us that biblical love does never ever mean abandoning biblical truth. At the same time, though, biblical truth does not give us permission to become harsh. Biblical truth doesn't give us permission to become proud or unloving. The Christian is called to walk in truth and love. And that brings us naturally into the opening words of this remarkable little letter. And we're just going to read that. 2 John 1 to 6. Sorry, folks, it's the afternoon, all right? I had too many peanut cookies. But let's read that together. 1 to 6, we'll read it, and then we'll get stuck into it. It says, "The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love." There's the example. "I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as they have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it." So let me give you some things here that are going to help you with this subject of balancing truth and love this afternoon. Point number one, if you take notes. Folks, we are to be rooted in the truth, all right? Let's look at verse number one again of our text. Verse number one, it says, "The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth." John doesn't simply say here, "You know what, I remember you guys, and I just love you." He says to them, "Whom I love," what's the condition? In the truth. Why does he distinguish how he loves them? Well, verse 2 tells us. Have a look at verse number 2. "For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever." John is saying that there is something deeper than merely having an affection for these people. There is a common bond that goes far deeper than emotion, folks, and God's truth dwells in them, and that truth is going to be with them forever. Let me say some things here. This truth is something that we should know. Truth is something we know. John says, all that have known the truth. We know Christianity, folks, is not based upon feelings. It is based upon what it's not based upon what I happen to think or my personal convictions. It isn't based upon, what our culture tells us. It isn't based upon what is popular. It's not even based upon my own personal interpretation and believing what God meant in the Word of God when he said what he said. You know, that's typical of religion, right? God didn't say what he said. This is what God meant. When he said Christianity, biblical, it's not built upon that. It's built upon the truth of what God has actually said. There is such a thing as truth, an absolute truth, and no amount of viewing it from different angle should be able to change that, church. And as Christians, we are supposed to know it, folks. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse number 32, "And you shall know," you're going to know this. What is it that you're going to know? Someone say it to me. The truth. John chapter 8, verse 32. "And you shall know the truth." And when you know this truth, what's the effect of that? Shall make you free. It's going to liberate you. Right? So the Christian life begins with truth. We don't come to Christ simply because Christianity makes us feel better. We come to Christ because Jesus Christ is the truth in the search for what we have been looking for. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, a verse that you know really well. Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Listen, folks, that is not that you don't get to interpret that in any way you want. That is truth. So much for all the religions leading, saying to, oh, we all follow, all those gods just, you know, lead to the same baloney. Our faith is built upon a person who is the truth and upon the word of God, which is truth. Truth is something that we know, but is also something that the Bible tells us dwells in us. Verse 2 says, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Folks, that's more than simply knowing some facts, knowing some statistics. The reality is that facts can be forgotten, but indwelling truth cannot be forgotten. Truth is supposed to dwell in us. It becomes part of who we are. It shapes our thinking. It shapes our decision. It shapes our attitude. It should shape our homes. It dwells in us. Truth indwelling in me should shape all my relationships. The truth indwelling in us shapes the way we behave ourselves when nobody else is watching. That's what John has been teaching us throughout 1 John. Truth isn't merely something that we put in our head, folks. Truth is supposed to get into our heart and then come out through every pore of your life. Truth also gives us, between me and you, it gives us a common foundation. Did you notice what John says? He says, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. What do me and you have in common? Now, I'm looking around this room. Who am I probably the most opposite to in season of life? And, well, I would probably look around and say probably Sister Lala, Sister Faye. We're probably the most opposite in where we're at in life and in maybe in character and in so many different things. But you know what we have is we have this common foundation. We have this in common. The fact that the truth that you know that indwells you and the truth that I know that indwells me should be the same truth. It is a common foundation, church. What was it in our text here? Look at it. What was it that brought these believers together? Was it they shared the same hobbies? Was it their love of motorcycles that brought them? No. I mean, was it the food? No. What was it that brought these people together? The common foundation, the truth. They aren't necessarily the same people. They aren't necessarily the same personality. They aren't necessarily the same in every preference that each one of them had. But they have something much greater in common, church. They know the truth, and that's one of the wonderful things about the church. That we can have people from completely different backgrounds and different ages and different personalities and different experiences, and yet we can stand together because we have the same Savior and the same truth. And notice how in verse number 3, it brings it all together. Grace be with you. Mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in how? In truth and love. Grace, mercy, and peace. Oh, isn't that a wonderful combination? Amen? But notice where John places them. In what? In truth and love. We don't have to choose between truth and love. Folks, God gives us both. Leads me to point number 2. We are to walk in truth. We are to walk in truth. Verse number 4, now John moves from what they know to how they live. Verse number 4, he says, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth as we have received a commandment from the Father. I love the wording. I love that walking in truth. I love when someone asks you, brother, how's your walk with the Lord? Are you walking with the Lord Jesus Christ? You notice that he didn't say, I rejoice because to hear that your children knew the truth or they know the truth. He said, no, I found them. I encountered them. I heard testimony that they are walking in the truth. There is a difference between knowing the truth and there is a difference between walking the truth. Amen? You know that, folks. Come on. You can know the Bible back to front. You can know what the Bible says and still not live according to what the truth is. You can know the right thing and do the wrong thing. You can have a Bible on your shelf and not have its truth governing your life. John says it's all about walking in the truth. So let me tell you, listen, the truth that you know should affect your walk, folks. Walking speaks of our daily life. Our Christianity isn't simply what happens inside this building, folks. We spoke about it this morning. Your Christianity is about what happens Monday morning. It's about what happens Tuesday afternoon and Wednesday night. Your Christianity is all about how we speak to our husband or how we speak to our wife. It's how we treat our children. It's how we conduct ourselves at work. It's how we behave when somebody frustrates me. It's how we respond when we are disappointed. It's all about what I watch and what I listen to and what I open. My Christianity is all about what I allow into my mind. It's all about what I do when no one else is around. That's walking. And John says, do all those things walking in truth. Truth must affect our walk. Let me say this to you. Walking in truth brings joy. You know why there's a lot of joyless Christians around? Because they simply won't walk in the truth. John says, I greatly rejoiced. I rejoiced greatly. Why? Because he found them living what they said they believed. He found them living what the truth was. Folks, there is something deeply encouraging about seeing another Christian living for God. Amen? You never hear of a fallen, wayward brother, a backslidden Christian, and you know the story, and he comes and you found out, and, oh, that encouraged my heart. And then you hear about a Christian, a young who may be growing and desires to get baptized, and they're using for the Lord, and you think, great, and that encourages you. Why? Because they're walking in the truth. Walking in truth brings joy, not only to you, but to everyone. As a pastor, one of the greatest joys isn't simply seeing you come to church. It's seeing you walk in the truth. It's seeing someone growing. It's seeing someone become more faithful. It's seeing someone taking God's word seriously. It's seeing a family making some good and sound biblical changes. Seeing somebody who has struggled spiritually begin to get victory over their life. That brings joy. And folks, listen, look at it. John wasn't rejoicing because they were perfect. He was rejoicing because they were walking in truth. And that should be our desire. Not merely, oh, I know the truth, but I know it and I'm endeavoring to live it, folks. Exaltation time. Walking in truth is not optional. Walking in truth is a command. It's not an option. Notice the end of verse number 4. Look at it. as we have received a, what? Commandment from who? From the Father. Folks, walking in truth is not optional. And we have a generation of Christianity that read the Bible, they know the Bible, and then they think they have the choice whether I'm going to obey and walk in the truth or walk my own path. We don't get a choice, folks. I mean, you get to choose, but it's a command. God hasn't simply given us truth as an interesting subject to study. He expects us, as He has delivered it, for us to obey it, to live it. And folks, there are Christians who treat obedience like it's just this optional extra on the side. Like God's word is somehow, an all-you-can-eat buffet. I'll pick and choose what I obey and what I don't. I'll obey God in the areas that suit me. Oh, they won't say that, but they show that by their choices. Listen, church, that's not biblical Christianity. God's word is not a suggestion. It is our authority. And John says that they were walking in truth as we have received a commandment from the Father. Point number three. We are also to love according to the truth. Verse number 5 and 6. Now John introduces the other great word, truth and love. Verse number 5, now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. John says that we love one another. That's important. Basically, it's the theme of the New Testament, folks. But then he defines what that love actually looks like. Look at verse number 6. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment that as ye have heard from the beginning, that ye should walk in it. This is one of the most important verses in this little letter, church. Because the world has completely redefined love. And we know, I've spoken about that. To the world, love often means that you accept everything I do. If you love me, you will accept everything that I do. If you love me, you will approve everything I believe. If you love me, you never disagree with me. If you love me, you would never tell me that I'm wrong. But that's not biblical love, church. John says, and this is love, that we walk after his commandments. Biblical love and biblical obedience belong together. Amen? They think it's a feeling. Love is not just a feeling. We often think of love emotionally. Oh, I love you because I feel strongly about you. But biblical love is demonstrated through action. If I love God, I will obey God. If I love my wife, I will treat her according to God's word. If I love my children, I will raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I will teach them God's word. If I love my church family, I will seek to be a blessing to my church family. And if I love someone who's living contrary to Scripture, I won't hate them, but neither will I tell them that disobedience is acceptable. Why? Because love wants what is best for the other person. Amen? And what is best for a person is always, always, always found in God's truth, folks. Always. I'll expand on something I said just a little bit earlier. But be careful, because truth without love can become harsh. This is where we need balance, church. Some Christians love truth, but they forget love. Oh, they know the doctrine. They know the verses. They know exactly what is wrong with everybody else, but they don't have much grace. They don't have much patience. They don't have much compassion. And that is not what John is teaching. Remember verse number 3, grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. Truth and love, both. But on the other hand, you got the other danger where love without truth, it just becomes compromise, folks. Therein lies, I think, the other danger, the other extreme, especially which seems to be a problem in contemporary Christianity. Please listen. You can become so concerned about loving that you stop standing for truth. And you'll say things like, well, you know what, I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want anyone to think that I'm judgmental. I just want to love everybody. I just want to show them the love of Jesus. But biblical love doesn't require us to compromise God's word, church. In fact, sometimes the most loving thing you can do is tell somebody the truth. You know, a doctor who discovers that his patient has a serious disease isn't loving if he says, you know what, you don't need to worry about it, everything's just fine. You know, that's not love, folks. That's cruelty disguised as kindness. The doctor tells the truth because the truth gives the patient an opportunity to respond. And spiritually, we need to understand the exact same thing, folks. Love tells the truth, but love tells the truth with the right heart. So it's not only about what you say, it's how you say it. So you share the truth, but how do you share the truth? The balance. The balance. So what is it that John is teaching us? He's teaching us that truth and love must always walk together, folks. Truth and love must be conjoined at the hips. Truth tells me what is right. Love tells me how I should treat people while standing for what is right. Please don't miss this. Truth keeps me from compromise. Love keeps me from becoming harsh. Truth gives me conviction. Love gives me compassion. Truth tells me where I must stand. Love tells me how I ought to stand there. And both come from God. Let's do a bit of self-reflection this afternoon. Can you indulge me for just another few minutes? Let's apply this. Ask yourself some things this afternoon, please. Ask yourself, am I walking in truth? Not do I know the truth? Most of you have been saved for a long time. You know the Bible. The challenge God's asking you is, are you walking in it? Are you living it? Is God's word governing my decisions? Is God's word governing my marriage? Is God's word governing my finances? Is God's word governing my entertainment, what I see, what I read, what I listen to? Is God's word governing my speech, what I'm speaking about, what I'm thinking about? Is God's word governing my relationships at home, at church, at work? Is God's word governing? Am I walking in the truth? Because John rejoiced when he found people walking in the truth. 2, ask yourself this afternoon. Is my love biblical? Do I love people the way God commands me to love them? Do I forgive? Do I show kindness? Do I pray for people? Do I help people? Do I encourage people? Do I care about people? But also, do I love people enough to share with them the truth? Is my love biblical? Fundamental question, ask yourself this afternoon, please. Have I, without even knowing, separated truth and love? Are now they separate in my life? Maybe some of us need to grow in truth. Maybe we've become too casual about God's word. Maybe we've allowed the culture to influence us more than scripture, folks. Others may need to grow in love. Maybe we're right doctrinally, but heaven's sake, we're wrong in spirit. Maybe we're holding the truth, but not in any way displaying the love of Christ in that truth. You know what John's saying in our text here, folks? If you get nothing else, get this. Don't choose. Don't choose one. You need to walk in both. Both. How are you doing at it? How are you balancing truth and love? It can't be like this, folks. Either side. They need to be balanced. Truth and love. Let me finish. We're done. I love John, how John begins this little letter. Have a look at our text again. He says, "The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth." That's a wonderful description of Christian fellowship. And then he says, "I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth." And then he says that we love one another. And finally he adds, "And this is love, that we walk after his commandment." There it is, folks. Look at it. Truth, love, and obedience. And they all belong together. Church, we need to be a people who know the truth. But more than that, we need to be a people who walk in the truth. And we need to love one another. But we need to understand that biblical love isn't compromise. Biblical love walks according to God's commandments. So here's the challenge this afternoon and we're done. Know the truth, walk in the truth, love people in the truth, and never allow your love to take you away from truth, or the commitment, the truth, to take away love from your heart. Because the reality is, church, when truth and love walk together, we look so much more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Maybe today the Lord would have us, each of us, ask ourselves one more simple question. If John watched my life this week, would he be able to say, "I rejoice greatly that I found them walking in truth"? Not just coming to church, not just carrying a Bible, not just knowing the right answers, but walking in truth. And folks, when people encounter us, do they see truth without love? Or do they see love without any sort of truth? Shallow? Or do they see something much better? A Christian who loves people enough to care about them and loves God enough to stand upon his truth. Folks, that's the kind of Christianity I think God is looking for. That's the kind of Christianity I want to practice. And I believe that's the kind of Christian John, through inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, is calling us to be. Are people who walk in and are balanced in truth and love. And all of God's people said, let's pray. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us your truth this afternoon. Help us not only to know it, but to walk in it each and every day of our lives. Lord, would you help us to love others as you have commanded, never compromising your truth, but always showing the grace and love of Christ. And Father, we pray that our lives bring joy to those who see us walking faithfully with you. We thank you, Lord. We love you. Thank you for the blessing and the opportunity it is to just to get into your word and into this little book of 2 John. And we look forward with anticipation, Lord, in what you will reveal to us and teach us through your text. We thank you. We love you. And we pray these things in Jesus' most precious name. Amen.